Hi, 103. How are you doing today? We're in chapter, I think, 8 here. And I think we're on question number 8, if I recall correctly. Why is this not working? And I think we're on question number... Sheesh. There we go. Get this right. I think we're on question number 8 in chapter 8. Sort of in our intuitive questions. So... this one starts off with just finish the sentence kind of thing. When firms hire workers, they equate the wage they pay to what? Well, they equate the wage equal to the value of the marginal product. Now, what's the value of the marginal product? That's the price of the output times the marginal product of the worker. So this is the wage equal to the value of the marginal product of labor. So as long as a worker is producing enough stuff that sells at a high enough price that he generates an income for the firm that's larger than the wage rate, then the firm will say, of course, I'm going to hire this worker. If you're working for a firm and you're generating $30 an hour, and the firm is only paying you $10 an hour, then of course the firm's going to want to hire you and it'll keep hiring you. Now, as it keeps hiring you, your marginal product is going to start to fall, and eventually the value of your marginal product will just equal the $10 an hour that you're being hired at. If you recall from the book, if we have quantity of labor down here and wage rate up here, the value of the marginal product is equal to the demand for labor. And so for a given wage rate, what that means is that determines how much labor you want to hire. And how much labor you want to hire is where the height, which is the value of the marginal product, just equals the wage rate that you're paying. Thus, when workers become more productive, other things equal, the demand for their services shifts what? Well, if the marginal product goes up, then the value of the marginal product goes up. The value of the marginal product is the demand curve. That must mean that the demand curve shifts out, right? So the demand curve is shifting that way. For a given wage rate, firms want to hire more workers. As long as the supply of these workers is not infinitely elastic, their wage will be... and the answer here, of course, is higher. So let's draw both cases. So here we've got the labor, we've got the wage rate, there's some demand for labor. Let's have a supply curve that's upward sloping, a supply of labor that's upward sloping. Now you have an increase in the marginal product. Demand curve shifts out. And the wage rate goes up. Okay, that would be a typical case. But what would happen if the supply curve was completely elastic? If the supply curve of labor looked like this, I'm gonna do a better job. Let's erase that. Let's do this. Suppose the supply curve of labor looked like this. Oop, it's still upward sloping. When I bought this pen, I had no idea it was going to be this hard to use. Okay, there. Okay, so now here's the initial demand for labor. So here's the demand, but here's our perfectly elastic supply curve. Now when the demand for labor shifts out, I'm just gonna do it like that. What happens? The wage rate remains unchanged. You get a large change in employment, but no change in the wage rate. This actually is very common in low skill labor markets. You know, when Walmart moves into a small town, that causes an increase for the demand for labor But Walmart just hires a lot of people that have low skills. And there are just a lot of people like that. And so what happens when Walmart moves into a town is employment goes up, but wages don't often go up. Likewise, in communities where people are able to move in and move out of very quickly, you know, if there's a small town, but there's an oil boom, but people can move into the town very quickly, employment goes up, but wages remain the same. Now, it works backwards, too. If you're in a boom town like Fort McMurray, and suddenly the price of oil drops and the demand for workers drops, those workers just leave. And the workers that remain behind, their wage rates remain at what they were before. So it's a sort of common thing. Okay, let's, there's another part to this question, if I can get to it. How do I get to it now? Okay, I could do it that way. Let's go here. Oh, now I gotta erase everything. Okay, let's erase all this. So the next part of this question has to do with a particular example about football. Maybe you saw the 2009 movie of called Blindside, story of a football player who gets adopted by a family. Anyway, let's just see if we can read this here. Okay. In football, the player with the highest marginal product is almost always the quarterback. Not surprisingly, the quarterback is almost always the highest paid player on the football team. In front of the quarterback is the offensive line, and on the left side is the left tackle position, and on the right side is the right tackle position. Right tackles and left tackles are not perfect substitutes. It's always been a weird thing to me. Here you are, two tackle positions, and you might have a comparative advantage in being a left tackle over a right tackle, that you'd think the skill set for being a left tackle would be the same as the skill set for a right tackle, but they're not. Just because you can play right tackle doesn't mean you can play left tackle. So right tackle and left tackle are not perfect substitutes. Most quarterbacks are injured when they're hit from their blind side. So if I'm throwing the ball with my right hand, I can't see over on my left side. Now I get hit back here, I can get injured. This means that if a quarterback is right-handed, his blind side comes from the left. If a quarterback is left-handed, his blind side comes from the right. Now the question, if a quarterback is right-handed, what would you predict would be the value of the marginal product of the right tackle versus the left tackle? Which one do you think earns more money? In fact, this player is almost always the second highest player on the team. Well, if your quarterback is right-handed, then the left tackle wage is going to be greater than the right tackle wage. And if most quarterbacks turn out to be right-handed, then that means that we would expect to see the left tackle wage to be higher overall. In fact, I've just got a graph here, and this shows the left tackle versus the right tackle salaries. And you can see, look at, these are the salaries over time of the left tackles. These are the salaries over time of the right tackles. The left tackles earn about almost twice what the right tackles do. But notice this, the gap is actually diminished over time. And in the recent past, the right tackles have made a big comeback. And what's gone on there is that more of a strategic thing, that defensive coordinators are not necessarily putting their best rushers on the quarterback's left side. They're trying to match up players, and they've been putting their best rushers on the quarterback's right side, which makes the right tackle position more valuable, and their salaries have gone up accordingly. Anyway, that's kind of a nice little example about how wages depend on marginal products. Okay. See you next time.